May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. Some verses from that gospel reading, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." This morning I want to talk to you about what it means to be called, to be called by Jesus, to be called to follow Christ. See, in that gospel passage I just read, we heard Jesus calling his first four disciples, and, well, it was quite spectacular, really, wasn't it? As Matthew tells the story, Jesus is simply walking by the sea one day when he spots these two brothers, Peter and Andrew, casting their nets. And Jesus says to them, "Follow me." And without missing a beat, without, it would appear, even asking any questions, immediately is the word the text uses. Immediately, they drop everything and they follow Jesus. And then a short time later, the same extraordinary scene repeats itself, more or less. Jesus sees two other fishermen, two other brothers, this time James and John. And again he calls them, and again, apparently without missing a beat, without a moment's hesitation, immediately, again the text uses the same word, immediately they leave everything and follow Jesus. In other words, these four men, Peter, Andrew, James, John, hear a call on their lives, a call to do something new, a call to make a change. And they respond instantly, unreservedly, unquestioningly. Simple. Simple. Or so it might seem. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, answering the call of God has never been that simple or straightforward. Yeah? Oh, I know that for some people, maybe some people here, for some people it is. I know that some Christians speak with 100% certainty and absolute clarity about what God has told them to do, about what God has revealed to them. But for most of us, I suspect, it doesn't quite work like that. For example, and I don't often quote David Cameron, which is quite a sentence. I don't often quote David Cameron, the former British Prime Minister, in sermons, but a few years ago, you may remember this, he said something which I think many people might recognize as being their experience. Cameron said that for him, faith was a bit like the on-again, off-again reception he gets on his FM radio when he's in the hills, when he's in the Chiltern Hills. You know, you're tuning a radio, and then maybe you hear a bit of text or somebody speaking or some music, and then back to... Well, that's it, Cameron, is a bit like what faith is for him. It sort of comes, it comes and goes. And I think that if our faith is a bit like that sometimes, coming and going, difficult to work out what exactly God is saying, then gospel readings like today's can seem like they're from another world, can't they? They can feel as if they have little connection with our lives, our struggles, our attempts to sincerely, sincerely listen for the voice of God. Listen for that voice within us, which is also somehow the voice beyond us, the voice of God. But actually, you know, I think that today's gospel does have something very important to say to us about listening for the voice of God, about the call to follow God. And it all comes down to that deceptively simple little phrase that Jesus used. Did you notice just two words? Follow me. he said to Peter and Andrew. Follow me. In other words, walk this way. Walk this way. Give it a go. Try it out. Follow me. In other words, the call to Peter and Andrew, it seems to me, is not, at least initially, it's not primarily about believing certain things or signing up to a list of doctrines and dogmas. No, it's a call to follow, to live by the grace of God in a certain way. It's a call ultimately to love in a certain way, to love as Jesus loved. There's a beautiful example of this in the novel by Dostoevsky, The Brothers Karamazov. In that novel, it's a story, one of the stories is of a high society lady who's lost her faith, pretty much. And she goes to Father Zosima, this wise spiritual leader. She goes to Father Zosima for some advice. And she says, how can I believe in God again? How can I get my faith back? How can I believe in God again? And Father Zosima answers this. He says, you must learn to love. You must learn to love. Try to love your neighbors, first of all. Love them actively, unceasingly. And as you learn to love more and more, you will be more and more convinced of God and the immortality of your soul. But first, you must learn to love. I really like that, because to me, it turns some popular misconceptions of faith on their head. I mean, you often hear that first faith is about first you must believe this, this, and this. Yeah? But no, actually, it's first you must love. First you must learn to love. First you must live as if self-giving love, self-sacrificing love, Christ-shaped love was the answer to the meaning of everything. First you must walk the way of love. First you must follow. And then as you do, then you will find a depth, a meaning, a purpose you could not have thought your way into. I heard someone once say, in your loving will be your knowing. That's well worth thinking about. In your loving will be your knowing. Or as Rilke, the great poet, once said, live the questions, live the questions, and you may grow into the answers. You may grow into the answers. And there's another point about this idea of calling which I want to make to you this morning, and it's this. Again, it's kind of a misconception I want to knock on the head. Too often, I think, we get, or more likely are given, we're given the idea that being called by God is a one-off event, a once-for-all decision, which means that you give up questioning or you give up journeying. Life's far more interesting than that. So is God. In fact, a calling may not be so much about what we do as about how we do it. About how we do it. What do I mean by that? Well, the best explanation I've ever come across was in a book by one of my favorite preachers and writers, Barbara Brown Taylor. I've mentioned her before. And in one of her books, Barbara Brown Taylor explains how she grew up with this idea that there was one thing you're to do with your life. And the problem was working out what it was. Because it's pretty difficult sometimes. Now, this worried Barbara greatly because she had no idea what the one thing she was supposed to do with her life should be. But she went to college and she studied theology and she began to pray fervently for guidance. And after several weeks of praying for hours every day, she got her answer. This is how she describes it. She writes, one night, when my whole heart was open to hearing from God what I was supposed to do with my life, God said, anything that pleases you. What? I said. What kind of answer is that? Do anything that pleases you, the voice in my head said, and belong to me. And belong to me. She goes on, the ball was back in my court again, where God had left me all kinds of room to lob it wherever I wanted. I could be a priest or a circus worker. God really did not care. Whatever I decided to do for a living, it was not what I did, but how I did it that mattered. And then just to make her point, Barbara goes on to describe some of the ways in which she has lived out her calling in her life, because she's had quite a varied life. She says, I went on to use martini glasses on serving trays, saddles on spotted ponies, communion bread and wine, newspaper stories, bouquets of flowers delivered to nursing homes, suppers cooked for friends, checks from my checkbook, and green ink on student essays as purposeful means of engaging my vocation. Every one of those tools gave me ample opportunity to recognize the divine in human form. Do whatever pleases you, belong to me. It's not so much what we do as how we do it. So I don't know how any of that might relate to your life right now. Perhaps like David Cameron, you're currently finding the reception from God FM a little patchy, or maybe non-existent. Or perhaps like Barbara Brown Taylor, you're beginning to sense that being called is not so much about what you do to make a living, but what you do to make a life. Whatever your situation, my hope, my prayer, for me, for you, for all of us, is that we would be who God created us to be. We would be who God calls us to be. We would do whatever pleases us and belong to him. Because as Catherine of Siena put it, listen to this, be who God created you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Wow. In Jesus' name, amen.